listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 8th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you and glad to have those joining us live. And also, we appreciate those that catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs, that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So, a little background, and this is, you know, live productions, anything can happen. If the latch doesn't quite take on the sliding glass door, the cats have figured out how to open it. And so the chime goes off on my, you know, home alarm saying that, you know, a door's opened, and so the dogs just respond to it. But
it's funny. Entertainment.
You have to love it. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic, developing your own psychic abilities. I know that a lot of people are looking forward to this one.
I was thinking, you should have known your intuition that it would be when you're reading the 9 principles of belief that your dogs had barked. Yeah, that's a first. That's a first, Michael, so you've done well.
Well, hey, you know, probability had to happen eventually, right?
Any other time you could mute yourself when we're talking and we got each other's back here.
Yeah, there it goes again.
There it goes. You know, tonight's topic, we have in the past, you know, a few times over the years talked about, you know, psychic abilities or psychic development. And I figured that, you know, this was as good a time as any to do a review and maybe add in, you know, a few other points. And I will be, quoting Malcolm Gladwell tonight and his book called Blink that was put out many, many years ago as a good reference to understanding that our intuition is in that blink. You know, the right answer is within that, like, minuscule of a second, but how we are, you know, in our own ways, our conditioning and our memory, you know, unconscious, subconscious bias sets in to kind of, weed it out and twist things around a little bit so that we don't follow that blink. So what I'd like to do is, first of all, say there's a distinct difference between instinct, which is we all have an instinct. It's physical, and that, third eye thing. We'll talk about that in a second. But intuition is different. So a lot of people use that word intuition very loosely, and we think that our instincts are intuition. It's not. So, you know, kind of got a confusion in our terminologies going on. My late teacher, Frank, would coin that instinct that we have as autosensory perception, ASP. And that comes from the prefrontal cortex, ventral medial prefrontal cortex. And think of it as attached to the pineal gland, if you will. But that third eye that's referenced in so many cultures is we can gauge our surroundings just like any other animal instinctually. So you have a sense about things, a sense about a room, a sense about an individual, a sense of things. That's, you know, really, we can boil that down to physical. And it's repeatable. And that's where we know. It's more of a study that is repeatable.
I'd say it's more universal.
Yes, and in any kind of testing, repeatable in that mentalists, let's say magicians and mentalists, have a real high-functioning ASP. And they know what you're going to do before you do because they have that really acute sensitivity to other people and their energy. So that's what I mean by it is a repeatable thing scientifically. And, you know, we've all heard people try to poo-poo psychic phenomenon, but they use that ASP in their reasoning. Say, well, they can repeat that, you can repeat this, has nothing to do with being psychic, but psychic takes us into a different realm. So I hope that makes sense so far, Michael.
Absolutely. And also makes me think about how much damage John Edwards did to so much. But
well, you know, without pointing names necessarily, you know, my old teacher would say, Magda, she would say that sometimes you can even bluff your way through. And she was a really honest reader. Like, if you can't think of anything, you know, say it so that people don't think they're going to die. And the likelihood of you being right on something is probably there in the law of probabilities.
Yeah.
And I think that's what some folks do, such as, for instance, John and others.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't want to necessarily delve into that. That's not what we're here for. But I am also, you know, we all have... We talked about thinking of, you know, universality. I can't speak. The fact that everybody has a sense of, you know, their instinctual kind of, it's a survivor thing. It's the ability to, you know, take in your surroundings, gauge it, and, you know, live in, it was how it was developed in the wild, I think. And I also would tie that to people that are intuitive, people that have, you know, psychic talent. I think that very well that was something that could, you know, if we're talking hypotheticals, be, you know, evolved over time, especially in such a social species as ours. And if we're talking about tying into an overall consciousness, that of the Earth, you know, Gaia or something in the universe, it just, you know, lends itself to that kind of idea of nature. And the one thing I was also wanting to get into is, you know, is this something where we're kind of like, you know, people in Star Wars that are force sensitive, they can become Jedi and things like that. Is this the same thing in the psychic realm? Is it a talent that certain people have, or can anyone develop their intuition?
Well, I'm of the mind that everybody has an intuition to some degree. But I want to go back for a second. A disclaimer here. Is people with low-functioning ASP, that autosensory perception or instinctiveness, if you will, would be people who would fall into like the autism or kind of like an Asperger's condition where they have low-functioning sensitivity to their environment. They don't gauge or read their environment very well. And then the other extreme is people like, you know, the mentalists. So we're going to pause for a second. Ronaldo says he's having a problem with the audio, and Wendy has suggested that he refresh, but Tabitha says hers has been going in and out too. So if you're having a little trouble, just push the refresh button. And
always good advice.
You know, just
it's kind of the internet equivalent of, you know, unplug it and plug it back in.
Kind of the same thing. Well, we have just gone through a full moon, people, so you never know what's going to happen. So I think, though, what you're saying, though, Michael, is in our evolutionary process. how we are as human beings evolving. I think some people have greater intuition, obviously, than others, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there has long been this theory of certain organs that we don't necessarily need, such as if you get your spleen out, if you get your appendix out, you can still function quite healthfully. And the thing is, the theory in a lot of metaphysical circles is that those are the organs we're growing into, and that we're going to rely on those more. So we're built perfectly for our evolution, but we're not as reliant on things yet, but we will be. That's just a theory, and it's one that I like to entertain, and you know, and so are we evolving. Yeah. So as we are increasing ourselves, I think there's always been people on the planet who have had insights. We can go from Nostradamus to Plato to, you know, I believe that those folks had a particularly interesting psyche in that they could foresee events, perhaps, mm-hmm. or have a certain interpretation to that.
Tricky thing, though, predicting the future.
Well, time streams, you know. You mm-hmm. pick out a time stream and you can see events. It's possible.
Oh, absolutely. And
but is I've had a lot of experiences where I had no frame of reference for what I saw. 30 years later, I saw that in a dream, in a vision 30, 40 years ago. So can you see the future? Absolutely. I think in that regard. But a lot of people claim they have no intuition, and I say, well, you do. You just haven't necessarily acknowledged it or nurtured it in a certain way.
That's
so
a good point.
I'm going to get to that in a second. But Kevin has asked a question in the chat. Do we have a standardized definition of psychic ability? And is there baseline ASP? You know, that's actually a really good question. I think Michael kind of inferred about that earlier. People who are high-functioning ASP might have a tendency toward intuitive abilities, meaning knowing things without necessarily having any frame of reference for it. And that is the difference. So I've used this analogy before. You go into a room and you feel something is amiss. Well, that's your ASP. But if we were getting ready to go to that event and you had a funny feeling about it, you have no frame of reference to feel that way, but you get there and you have the same sense, that is an intuition. So it's like outside of the realm of a physical explanation. So I know Edward has written something in the chat. Do you want to read that, Michael?
Absolutely. Edward put in chat, extrasensory perception, psychic ability, is defined as an extrasensory perception an individual has to predict the future. Contrary to popular belief, every single person actually has the capacity to become a psychic, since extrasensory perception is considered to be a form of intelligence. But not everyone harnesses these powers. Which is a good explanation, and I think, like many things in life, our perception and our belief, especially in what is real, what is the reality around us, shapes that reality, and can be changed.
Well, I think we have to look at what inhibits people to grow their intuition, and I think it starts at a very young age. A child has had a sense about an imaginary friend, which could very well have been a spiritual entity. But a child has a sense about people. It embarrasses the adult. No, no, don't talk that way. A child has an intuition about something. Oh, that's too scary. And religion has done a lot of damage that way. People in their own beliefs, whatever dogmas they, you know, kind of prescribe to, don't allow for, you know, working that kind of nurturing in young people. Indigenous cultures do. It's actually revered. Children have less contamination when they have premonitions or sensory perception. for instance, a child, you know, is in a group of adults. The adult wants to give the kid a hug. This is a normal, friendly kid. The kid says, no, I don't want you to hug me. That's a child knowing something is amiss. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people right away say, oh, come on, you can hug Uncle Joe. So it immediately kind of, that sets up a conditioned way of thinking for the child, conditioned behavior. So the kid doesn't want to hug Uncle Joe. That's not the kid's problem, you know.
Yeah.
Say no. That's comfort. And of course, it doesn't have to be from a sexual innuendo either. It could just be this is a sense of no, I don't like you. There's something wrong. You see.
Right. So and wanting to maintain your own personal space and boundaries, and you know, yeah, not necessarily feeling like that kind of closeness.
Yeah, you so know? you don't want to. But
exactly.
Again, it's so I think that a lot of belief systems inhibit the nurturing of intuition at a young age. So what is that intuition? What is the psychic ability? And mm-hmm. It is to know something outside of the realm of what would be normalized in our conditioning. And it even something as interesting as you know, I used to load my kids up in the car. I said, I'm not telling you where we're going. Where do you think we're going? Just pause and I get everybody to sit quietly. And 9 times out of 10, they'd get it right.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that would be, that's your nurturing, your intuition. What is your sense of things? Now, I know that, Claire Gustance? Who was that asked Wendy if she was...
I think that was Jamil earlier in the chat. Yeah, we had looked that up because we hadn't heard of it.
No, and I had to look it up. It's, sensory perception through smell. I hadn't heard of that one. So thanks to Jamil for that one. That
like, wasn't it taste, the ability to taste things?
Taste, sorry, yes.
And, you know, so what a insight and, you know, intuitiveness to have.
So you get this weird taste in your mouth for no reason. What is that? That could be... honestly, a psychic impression left, you know, on your body. It's like the smell, you know, you can smell a tobacco, like a, say, tobacco or a cigar smell come by, and that's what Grandpa used to smell, you know. Or, Jamil says, Claire Gustance, that's into super psychic tasting. So it comes to us in many ways. It's not just the vision in your head or like this absolute knowing of something. It comes through senses. So what I would do with my kids is, you know, encourage them to have a sense, a feeling. What do you smell? Do you hear anything? So that they could develop their own skills, if you will, whatever mm-hmm. was their dominant skill. All of them are active, but... the dominant one. And I would encourage anybody who's an adult to, number one, what is your sense about something? But then also back up and say, what is my prejudice on something?
What is my
bias? Because it's what I want to happen, not necessarily what I truly intuitively see to happen. And it requires a huge amount of objectivity on your own part, trust me.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about this prior to going live, and it as human beings, we inevitably carry around a decent amount of baggage. And are you taking your own issues and using it to color the perception? And it's I think a really big reason, like you had said earlier, you know, kind of more pure thought and not kind of made cynical about the world yet. Children have a higher level of intuitiveness, I would say, in a lot of cases. And I think it's for that reason, you know, that life's rough, it knocks you around a bit, and then you start to get preconceived notions.
You know, and I don't think Dr. Kelly would mind this. We don't need to go into detail, but he gets all kinds of mail to the school, so I'm sure you can all imagine. And one was from a former graduate who wanted to opt out and check out of his membership, et cetera, because he had heard some bad things about students and mm-hmm. didn't want to be associated with the school. And, of course, Dr. Kelly, as Dr. Kelly is, takes this to heart, and he writes back several times saying, can you please, you know, inform me, help me out here so that I can get to the bottom of this and investigate. And this graduate writes back and says, "You wouldn't understand my intuition."
It's psychic, yeah, his psychic abilities, psychic powers.
Yeah, and it was just so way out there that
completely out of left field, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I mean, imagine somebody is a little bit off their game, and we don't need to go into that. But off your game can also mean you're imposing your beliefs into what you sense or feel, or your fears, especially fears.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and then we, how we interpret what we're seeing, and that's a really critical point to make in having an intuitive thought. I have heard this many, many times. It certainly happened to me where somebody called me up and said, "I had a dream last night that your house burned down and there was fire everywhere. And, you know, I'm glad to know you're okay. Watch out for fire." I'm okay. Intuitively, I knew enough to say, "I'm okay." Mm-hmm. Fire is symbolic of cleansing. So you can take that, oh, that vision or that dream and interpret that very many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I assure, there's many ways to interpret this, but I've heard other people tell me the same thing. Somebody phoned me up and had a dream that there was a car crash and, oh, you know.
Well, you know, it can be metaphor, it can be symbolism, like you had said earlier. And,
exactly.
You know, there's a lot of things to still to get into as our time dwindles. And I think when we're talking about developing our own psychic abilities, dreams, I definitely want to come back to that. But, you know, one thing I was wondering about, is more of a psychic layman, is are there any, you know, specific tools? Are there any methods that you would recommend to help people that want to nurture that?
Well, one of the things is here's one for daily life. Any situation that you're in and that causes you to feel an emotion, because of actions around you or other people, is go into that feel, sense, think, and do. As babies, we sense first, but we're so corrupt now, we have to feel because we're all emotional beings. So you feel your emotion, but then pause and sense what is going on. The one who's behaving badly, are they unstable? Mm-hmm. Are they just upset with the situation? And then you think about it, and then decide what you're going to do in a response. So that's a good way to start the building empathy and the auto-sensory perception kind of thing, which is also intuitive and, you know, like that empathic mm-hmm. kind of thing where you're engaging in other people. So you're building your perceptivity about yourself in relation to the world around.
Just kind of, you know, connecting with other people being so mm-hmm. fundamental to this entire process.
And that's how you weed out the next part of this. If you have, let's say, a thought about someone out of nowhere, is that somebody thinking about you? Is that right before the phone rings, you know, where you mm-hmm. have that sense? And you can't necessarily isolate the feeling, but you know the feeling. So the next time you get a sense of an intuitive thought, is it with that same feeling that you've had before?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, in the wish department or the thought department where you're the instigator? You see?
Yeah.
And it takes time because you have to have enough life experience too, and going through your day and being very self-observant of how you feel. And I call them flashes. When I get a flash, it's like out of nowhere, a flash. Okay, I know what that flash is because it comes with a particular feeling that's not of me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It's not something that would have come from your, you know, unconscious mind.
And because I don't also live in a place of fear. So that's another huge one. If you have a lot of fears, address your fears, and it'll clear the way for true intuitive or psychic thought. So it's Tabitha just said she just got a text from a friend she was thinking about. She hasn't talked in a year. She thought that was kind of crazy. But that is exactly what I'm talking about, Tabitha. It's when you had an intuitive thought. So that's that quantum entanglement, if you will. You heard it through the ethers. That is pure intuition. That is a psychic kind of thread in the universe that you connected to. And then that friend called. Now, who, in this case, who knows? Was it you who projected the thought, or she projected to you to say, I'm going to call you because I've thought about you? And it doesn't really matter. The thing you want to do is acknowledge that it happened.
Maybe it happened because both parties were kind of going in that direction to begin with, you know, thinking about one another, and then entanglement becomes stronger.
Yeah. So that's how you then isolate that. Oh, this has happened before. What was that feeling that I had? And I know when I was very young, I tried to have control over it because I wanted to isolate that feeling, that control. And controlling it doesn't work. Observing it does. Managing it is better.
Yeah.
But as it comes, because it will grow where you have more intuitive thought. And then you have to know how to manage it to know what's your business and what's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something we all have that helps to guide us in our life. You know, should I take this road or that road? And everybody's been in a position where you're driving your car and you automatically somehow took a route that you hadn't taken before. I call that kind of instinctual, where you're avoiding some kind of trouble. But if you're conscious of it, saying, I wonder if I should take a different route. I have that thought to take a different route. And you think about what you're feeling. Yeah, I feel like I better take a different route. Now you're conscious of an intuitive feeling as well as instinctual, if that makes sense. So they do partner. I think in kind of in response to the earlier question, does it coincide with ASP? I think it does. I think it's always a partnership of sorts, because then we have to know what to do with it and how to manage.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's never any one thing, isn't it? You have to balance out so many different, you know, ASP, intuition, you know, your biases, trying to maintain that kind of objectivity, which is very difficult as a human. And I also want to kind of come back to what you were talking about earlier with your friend having dreams and, you know, what might they mean. How often are dreams relevant to psychic intuition? And I would also ask, since the topic of is, you know, developing your psychic abilities, is there a way to develop your psychic ability via dreaming?
You know, I don't know anymore. I think there's so much chaos. I think there's a number of us, my kids included, we suddenly say, wow, I've been having weird dreams. And they're so bonkers. It's like a different time space, a different consciousness. Mm-hmm. Like imagining yourself in another realm. And so how much are we influenced? And look, let's not be metaphysicians for a moment. Let's just be psychologists to say we have so many random thoughts in our brains now. That come to us via watching movies, to devices, to, you know, all kinds of stuff, that whatever we're dreaming now, it's really, I think, wreaking havoc on our psyches. So how much relevance is there to a dream? I think the only dreams that you can really feel something about is when it feels absolutely real. And you wake up in the morning, I think we've all had them, that dream was so real, it's like I was there. And that's one that you might want to, you know, give some extra thought to.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a precognition kind of thing going on. But it could also just be you absolutely were transported into an alien ship. What do I know?
you know, I think about that one because I will say I dream a lot. And sometimes, you know, they do tend to fade. Some really stick with me. Not that there are anything that would hopefully come true. I've dreamed of my death before, too. That was an odd one. But I have had these moments where something's happening, and it's like a very strong sense of deja vu, maybe even more powerful than deja vu, where like, wait, I remember this. Wait, didn't I dream this? And it kind of brings back a vague memory. And, you know, so if I have any kind of intuition, it might be expressing itself that way. But dreams are a very funny thing. There's so much emotion tied up in them. I remember, mm-hmm. you know, talking before, and it's not really the imagery of the dream as much as the emotion that it brings about.
Exactly. Dr. Mike is asking if you dream in color.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I have too. Interesting.
I don't know that I've not dreamed in color, come to think of it.
Tabitha says she has a friend who thinks that dreams are actual places and we get to visit other worlds and live in our dreams. It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Entirely possible. So yeah. So we're going to demonstrate a little bit, and I'll try to explain a little bit as we choose cards, because we're into that segment. Mm-hmm. And I'll do my best to explain what happens to me when I
okay.
pull a card.
Very good, very good. You know, I think we can't go without answering Jamil's question. Do I dream of that I'm fighting the Sith with a lightsaber? Well, of course, but here's the other thing. Sometimes I am the Sith. Oh, my God.
That's funny.
But, yeah, looking forward to the cards. Tonight's going to be an interesting take. Of course, I'm going to be reading from the Inner Oracle cards from ICMH. And, of course, I'm reading from a book, so I am not putting much intuition in. I do think that a lot of times they really make you think, and I think the probability that's expressed is interesting. But I'm very much looking forward to your polls tonight, Dr. Vicky. So let's see. I think that Dr. Mike actually put his name in first, if I caught that correctly. And Dr. Mike, I have wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Okay, this is where I want to explain. I write down Mike's name, I make a dash and write, and then some. And this is all about how the messages come in relation, that something has to relate one to the other to isolate the message. So I just pulled the Hierophant. Now, the first thing the Hierophant means to me is about home, comfort, conformity. And I would say in this case, the and then some with the Hierophant, that's the message, because it's one relates to the other. How do I then translate that to a fundamental, everyday kind of occurrence? Not into foo-foo land, but more into, you know, what would make sense. And I would, it's the, and then some is giving to yourself and
yeah.
the order of life, your rhythm of life. So that's how I interpret that. And if that makes sense to you right now, Mike, it's how are you giving to yourself? And maybe there's extra care that needs to be given. Maybe you need some R&R. Maybe you need just time out. And we all need that too. So what you wouldn't ordinarily give to yourself to feel a sense of calm, peace, and comfort, now is the time to do that. That's how I interpret that.
Very interesting. I like that. All right. So
he said he's trying his best to feel stupid.
Oh, an uphill battle if there ever was one. But
Edward is next.
Edward, I have number 33 in the service to self and others suit, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Okay, so again, to explain this, everyone, I write Edward's name down with a dash, preference, principle. I do not draw the card for him until Michael has said what the card is. Knowing that, I then allow my own instincts, if you will, or intuition, whatever it is, because I don't know, to draw one card out of these tarot that are spread across my table here. And in this case, I pull the seven of diamonds. Now, what would that mean? Preference, principle, seven of diamonds. And of course, diamonds have to do with belongings, acquisition, finance. Of course, the seven of diamonds, that's kind of like the harvest of that. You know, it's after all the work, you know, getting things in order, preference versus principle. So then immediately the first in that blink story that would come to my mind is there might be a moment here where you, what you want to purchase, what you want to invest in. And what's your, is it something that is of principle that you need, that you really need it, or is it just something that you want? So from there, I immediately, because, you know, we're all intelligent beings, I would say, maybe this is the time to really think about how you're spending your money. And maybe it is you're having a discussion in your home about finances, and that preference versus principle would be a good way to sort that out. That makes sense?
Very good. Very good.
It's a storytelling.
It is. It's very interesting.
And the symbols tell the storytelling, because I'm not randomly picking this out of the cosmos by myself. There are indicators here for me to tune in. In other words, to isolate what the message might be at this particular moment. So Tabitha's next, Michael.
All right, Tabitha. For you, I have number 39 in the life skills suit, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situation, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, again, to explain, Tabitha, education. As Michael's reading that, I pull out the five of clubs. In this case, how I want to tell this story, because kind of knowing clubs is often about transition, change, you know, and shifts kind of thing. The five, in this case, I always see is either before a battle or after. You know, it can mean either, because there's always the duality. But I'm going to go with education. And the five of clubs is that you were challenged by something and later said, well, I don't know what all the fuss was about. I didn't know I could do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how I take that, is learning and growing. Like right now I'm fighting with a computer, right? And
it's become self-aware, and now it's trying to take over. But
I know. So fighting with this computer programming stuff, I know darn well at the very end of it, I'm going to say, well, that was simple. What was all the fuss about? You know, but it took me all that time to learn it. So I feel like you're in a similar thing, Tabitha, where, you know, it's kind of like that stress of getting up to that moment. But then you say, hey, that was not so tough. I got that. And now you're more comfortable with yourself in the learning process, in whatever facet that is of your life.
Very good. Very interesting. All right, I think we have Jamil next. Jamil, for you, I have wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies or low entropy that can wane to uselessness or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
So again, Jamil, entropy, I pull the hermit. Now that's a very interesting moment for me to see this, because entropy is about your energy, you know, where your frequency of energy is. And the hermit is about that reflection, inner study, taking that moment to ask yourself those really important questions about, you know, the who am I, what do I believe sort of thing, and where you're at. So this is either saying to me, and again, the first thought that comes to me is that maybe there is something for you to look at here, Jamil, or it is in a way you're being too hard on yourself. So to think about that, when we're hard on ourselves, it alters our entropy, right? Being more at peace. So we ought to own something, we own it, and then we're at peace again. Our energy is leveled out. So, but I want to go with maybe you're just being a little bit too hard on yourself, and just to remain a little bit calm and see it for what it is, change what you can, and the rest is, well, breathe through it. This is, you know, your perfection, you're that perfection in motion, if you will. So the hermit just is saying, this is all inside, how you see the world and how you see yourself in it.
Very good. I love it.
The all story. Right.
We have, I believe, a newcomer, Michael R., and I have a card for him, wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
Well, now I completely missed this name in writing them down. Michael R., is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I missed that totally through the thread here. So here's another thing that I want to make mention of. I had missed that. I had Jamil and then Zach Smith. So I had to, and I don't know, it's like an energy kind of setup. So I had to push my pause button. I had to go in between and write between Jamil and Zach Smith. I had to write Michael R. I don't want to put it at the end of my thing. I want to keep that flow of energy. Because I do know that if I add it to the end and then go back up to the top, frequencies are going to start to mess up. I don't know why that is. It just does. So I insert him up here, right after Jamil, Michael R. He had the Don't Hate, and I had the 9 of Diamonds for him. So I just want to say that about how intuitive wires can get crossed, and I'm very sensitive to that now. So I have these own little tools of my own to correct that. And that might be useful for yourself, too, if you're having more than one thought at a time or doing too many things at a time. Of isolating them and slowing it down so that there's more space between them. And then you can, your intuition is more right on as opposed to a collision. So the Don't Hate, Michael R. with the 9 of Diamonds. Oh, you know, the 9 of Diamonds is always about the home, satisfaction in and around the home. It could be that you just come through a little bit of turbulence and not too bear grudges. And if that's not the case, I do see a duality here of, we can all get a little irritable these days because this is not an easy world to manage through. It would just be to center yourself and to allow your home to be your sanctuary. So not to take the world home with you, in a way, if that makes sense. So that Don't Hate, 9 of Diamonds is make sure when you come in the front door, all that baggage is left outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
good advice. Good advice. Yeah. All right. All right. I think we have now on to Dr. Kevin, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we had Zach Smith.
Oh, Zach Smith. I'm sorry. I was multitasking.
Excuse me.
Oh, no, that one was my fault. Yeah, we do have
okay.
Zach Smith.
We're okay.
And I actually had pulled this one with Zach in mind. Not that it means as much on my end, but Zach, I had pulled number 36, gratitude, for you. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives deep within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
You know, again, Jack Smith, gratitude, and I pull lovers. Now, lovers doesn't have to be literal. Lovers is about passion. It's about energy. It's about how we connect with the world in a way. So where's your passion, Zach? That's what it's asking. Ignite your passion. Live from that place of passion and what you love to do. And just remembering who you are as you go through the world. I'm not saying in any way that you're not grateful. You are. But it's to be in that place of I'm okay today. You know, and I know who I am and where does my energy want to be to, I know it sounds so hokey, doesn't it, to say to love myself? But that's really about being kind to yourself. So that's just the message there.
Good message. All right. And now we have Dr. Kevin, and I have number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or a direction.
Page of Diamonds for that. So again, people, and just in part of the explanation, I'm finding the story here for Kevin, truth, and a Page of Diamonds. So in this case, I want to say, because pages are always the communicators, and diamonds is always about acquisition, finances, investments, and so on, generally speaking. And so I'm going to say here, the sensibility about where you're going and what next moves that you're taking, Kevin, is, you know, the first, and then this is, again, intuition, a flash of just because you want to believe in someone doesn't necessarily mean they're believable. So in discerning what we want of somebody and what we hope of them versus what's actual, so it's like using your, you know, your instinct and your intuition more truthfully so that you don't go awry in something. So watch who you invest with as well as what you invest. So it's just a, you know, a truth moment. That's all. And again, there's a story with that, Michael. See how that comes. And
absolutely.
I'm not invested with anybody, as much as I wish you all very well. I'm not invested to corrupt any thing that I might see. My task is to find the right words and being responsible with them.
Well, and I think that's another thing about being psychic and intuitive and relaying that is being responsible about it. But all right. Anyway, moving on, we have
Rinaldo,
I have number 35 for you. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
You know, as you were saying that, Michael, I'm looking at my paper, I have Rinaldo, and I'm writing one planet, but I had something resonated with me at destiny. And I haven't had that before when you've read it in all these years. Destiny. It's just something that I felt something. So I pull a card, and it's the moon. Now, the moon is where all things are hidden. All things, you know, the secrets of the world are kind of revealed, if you will. They can be. You know, literally speaking, you can take it as, you know, there's something deceptive around, you know, betrayals. I'm not taking it that way at this moment. What I did feel, Rinaldo, you might be feeling a little philosophical from time to time right now, and feeling that humanity of everyone. And I think if I have this right, is sometimes we can feel great dismay at what we see in the world because we have such hope and belief and love for humanity. We're just not liking people very much. And so you might, again, that one planet, one destiny, is you know what that is and you know what's possible. And look, it might just be you're looking at the people in your life right now and saying, oh, no, I wish they were making different decisions, you know, because I love them and want the best for them. But the moon says, that, you know, what will be revealed, and we don't have any control over those other people, their actions, and so on. We only have that management ability within ourselves. So I'm inclined to want to say, guide them well. And don't take it to heart, because there's nothing you can do.
Good advice. Wise words, indeed. All right, we have Dr. Jeff next. And for you, I have number 7 in the self-completeness suit, self-mastery, excuse me. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
Well, the woman in your life certainly is relevant here because she comes up as, you know, the Queen of Spades. So you have, I know you do, because, and I have met you both, and you're both extraordinary people. And I love Shauna. I think she's awesome. But in this case, you know, it's a balance of the natures. So your self-mastery and how that balances with, you know, her strength and her character. I really admire strong women and determined women have a lot of energy, and that's what she has. So how do you balance that? How are you in that, you know, how do I want to say this? Because a couple is a group, but you're still individuals. So it's that self-mastery while you're in partnership. So it might be something that you're looking at right now, Jeff, or you're just having a moment of saying, okay, well, what do I do here? And how do I fit in this? And so you'll find your way in it. So it's a discovery time. That's the way I see that.
Very, very interesting. All right.
So Dr. Mike has asked you about energy and entropy. And if we could have just a brief on what that is. Can you pull the entropy card out again for a minute?
Yeah. So in the context of the entropy card, wild card number 6, we talk about entropy, which can be low entropy, which is something that is deteriorating. You know, if something has low entropy, it deteriorates quickly. High entropy means that it maintains its integrity. So the card reads, the cycle of life, there are useful energies or low entropy that can wane to uselessness. Or, I'm sorry, I'd reverse that. Yeah, I'd reverse that. I'm sorry. I was scanning quickly and it clicked in my head that that's not right. So I went back and reread it. It's written the right way. Useful energies, which are low entropy, meaning low entropy, things don't decay. High entropy, things decay quickly. Correction. So their energy stands still and their entropy increases. If their entropy increases, they're no longer giving value to the evolution of life. And this can be, we talk about it as a card being an attitude and a behavior that may require adjustment to take a step in that renewal and rebirth. Then you're lowering your entropy, maintaining your value to yourself and overall society.
Yeah, and I also see it as if entropy goes too high, we get kind of chaos. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes kind of, it's like somebody having a big temper tantrum and, you know, their entropy goes flying everywhere. You know, and it's to lower that entropy to that calm.
Absolutely. Know, that, and, you know, I think of it as
the frequency.
You know, when I think about entropy, when I was reading it in the coursework and as well as in academic school, I would think about it this way. You know, things with low entropy would be, you know, like molecules that are not moving fast. But high entropy, you know, molecules are moving much quicker. That means things are usually a bit more chaotic. Things you tend to, you know, break apart more. There's less stability. And I think that that leads to just, you know, kind of quicker decay.
Yeah, because it's crazy. You know, something that I had a friend of mine, I had a talk yesterday, and one of the things that she's pondering at the moment is she has lesser emotional attachment to siblings and people, and she's feeling like maybe she's a bit cold. And I said, no, it's called maturity. So, you know, when we have a lot of emotional attachment to people and what they do and how we interact, and, you know, it's you know, and you know what I'm saying, Michael? It's attachment. Mm-hmm. It's, you're so invested in your own and their well-being and the dynamic of that relationship, it's almost unhealthy.
Yeah, and, absolutely. This is why Jedi, you know, cannot have attachments. It all makes sense. But
Well, you know, and Grogu would have something to say, too, because he's still trying to figure that out.
Yep.
But it's true that as we get the maturity is knowing when to step back. And again, that can be construed as apathy, but it's not apathy. If anything, I assured her, I think that as we get older, we feel deeper and bigger. It's just we know when to mind our own business, and well, we're not as attached.
We have more context.
And it is. It's absolute context, because if I have the freedom and the right to be as I am, so do others.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's allowing that breath.
Absolutely.
And it's a little more objectivity. And so it feels like there's lesser attachment. It feels like there's lesser investment. But it's more about respect and honoring free will of individuals.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, before we finish up tonight, we do have our last card of the evening for our card keeper herself, Wendy.
I didn't know.
And
I'm babbling away.
Oh, dogs are going again. They heard they wouldn't be talking about Wendy. There's a connection of dogs there. But and a lot of new cards tonight. We've been noticing, thanks to Wendy's tracking, that in this year we seem to have a lot fewer repetitions. And we had talked earlier on in the year about how this is kind of a new, you know, new energy is coming about. So, Wendy, for you, interested if it's new or not, it's number 26 in the spirituality suit, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Wow, I got the High Priestess, Wendy. That's huge. Energy signature, High Priestess. You know, one of the things, you're doing your work, and as you expand and you grow, I think part of the realization is you can't take people with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you on your own. And it's about you setting the example. So what we tend to do sometimes is to diminish our energy so we can wait for people to catch up. And that's doing ourselves a disservice in a way. And Wendy, it's about moving forward, being your true, you know, a true self, and maybe it's really about we don't have to share everything we know. We don't have to. We just allow other people to breathe. I'm always amazed when I see relationships where one is really spiritual and investigative and, you know, learning, and the other one's happy to watch a movie. And it's like, no, they're not interested in that spiritual stuff. And that's irrespective, I think, that karma between them, because it's a good balance. And they have a good relationship, minus this understanding of what we think about, what we believe in. And I find that kind of curious in a lot of ways, that two people can be together with different beliefs, but still have a really good life. So it's respecting that, how it all breathes. So I'm not necessarily saying that in your partnership, but it could be other people around you, and you got a new turtle, you need a farm, you know, She yeah. now has four turtles, Michael. So you're being you in that nurturer, and it's good that you're putting that energy in there because that's what it wants to do. And High Priestess, boy, you're coming into a new sense of self.
I like it.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Trust me, I know that. I know that life. I keep adopting pets like it's become an addiction. It's been a few months since I've adopted any new pets. I might have to, you know, go to some rescues. but no,
we
this is
have a talk about that.
But this has been a great discussion, and the fact that if you can hear my cat Luke, who is a Jedi himself, let's put him out. he has managed to close the door to my study, and I call it a study because it sounds more pretentious than office or just that room with my computer and stuff. But he closed the door, and now he's meowing at the door because he wants out now.
That's funny.
But no, this has been a great discussion. You know, I love coming to these things where it, you know, just adds to my own knowledge base, and the give and take with live chat, the, you know, information that's given, the different mm-hmm. perspectives, appreciate it as always. So, you know, but it is that time of the night, and
it is,
you know, we're kind of coming to the end, and it's been I've really appreciated, Dr. Vicky, you kind of giving us an inside peek on how you're drawing those cards in your perspective. And as we kind of round out, is there any last thoughts that you have for this evening?
No, just, you know, be who you are, people, and, you can glean the news, but don't really read it. It's all out there. Just live your life. You know, be well.
Good advice. You can't say it better than that. So we're looking forward to you joining us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.